Hello and welcome to this episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. We are now in the full flow with the IPL. So, week two, as usual, I'm your host, Srinipat Sadhi, and I'm joined by Venkat. Hello, Venkat, how are you?
Hi, Shri, I'm doing fantastic. As you rightly said, IPL is well and truly on, and couldn't be more happier.
Yeah, enjoying the long weekend here in the UK.
Yeah.
To catch up on all things IPL. I was just, I guess the best player to start with is probably the IPL table as it stands after now 10 days in the starting on the 31st of March. There's 10 days. Most teams have played about two or three games. Well, most of them have played three games. A couple of them have played two games. I was just having a look at the table, and what stood out for me was if you looked at the table as it stands today, three of the top four were actually in the top four that finished last season. So Rajasthan Royals, yes. Lucknow, and Gujarat Titans.
Titans, yeah.
Finished in the top four, and I don't know. So it's not a surprise, I guess, to see them. The only difference is RCB and KKR swapping places, and KKR, maybe that's a good place to start with in terms of last night's
game. Last night's fireworks.
Before we came sort of on the start of the recording, we were just having a quick chat about that. Just looking at Rinku Singh's stats overall, it's interesting to see he scored more runs in five balls last night than he did in the whole of the 2018 season.
Yeah, that's a very interesting stat. I don't think we found that anywhere, but thanks to your diligence, Srini. I mean, that is some stat, isn't it? I mean, like, you score in five under and over what you scored in an entire season. I think Rinku Singh will happily take it. But on a serious note, I think just dwelling on that point, Deep Das Gupta in an interview mentioned, and he asked, it seems, about KKR's management, but what have you seen in this guy that you're retaining him for so long? Then this was before yesterday's fireworks. And it seems, they had mentioned that his hitting ability in the nets made them retain ahead of a lot of other, not retain, but also, continue to invest the faith, place their faith. And so I think it is repaid, but we did. This does not mean KKR is out of the woods yet in terms of their qualifying, or as the league progresses, they are still one of the teams that are catching up behind the eight ball.
Yeah, the interesting thing, just looking at Rinku Singh's overall performance in IPL, or his record across the last. So this is his fifth season. He came on in 2018. You wouldn't say that it's anything home, anything to write about. His highest was last season when he played seven games and scored about 174, top score of 42 not out, and he's already gone on to 48 not out. However, the one probably, to be fair to him, he's not really had a chance. And if you think about it, he played four games in 2018, five in 2019, one in 2020, seven in 2022, and he's already played three. So,
yeah.
Whether, Shreyas Iyer not being available means, A, there's more chance for him to play. And B, the other one, we were going to discuss this anyway, but just thinking about it now, is the impact player rule, if that's made a difference in the sense of, If there was no impact player, would Kolkata have gone in for a genuine all-rounder as opposed to Rinku Singh as a batsman, giving him, and because they know, he can bat and then we can get somebody in as a bowler.
Yeah.
And the impact player is probably going to give a few non-3D players, if you like, specific, just batsmen. Or bowlers, we can look at the similarly, Tushar Deshpande in Chennai, although his impact hasn't been great, but I guess you would have said, he may have not played, you know, there's probably an opportunity for a few Indian players, you know, either purely as a batsman or a bowler to play because of the impact player rule.
Absolutely. I mean, we have seen that already. Even the 3D players are now focused on doing one thing. I think Vijay Shankar, for example, is playing more as a batter. Venkatesh Iyer playing as a more as a batter. Of course, you know, you mentioned that the impact players' impact on the game has been more specialist driven rather than all-rounders reliant. So we are seeing that. It makes absolute sense. For example, somebody like Yuzi Chahal would never get to bat in any of the games because, you know, as much as he is a terrific bowler who's getting wickets with the bat, you know, he's not even in the, you know, like the first 20, leave alone the first 11. So I think that gives our teams a lot of flexibility. So you can imagine, you know, having somebody, it's almost like playing an all-rounder, except that, you know, you're taking the best of a batter and best of a bowler and mixing it up together and doing it in parts. So it's a great addition. We're seeing, I think ESPN had put some stats around the impact. I think what we are seeing is the impact players have increased the scoring rate, which is evident. All the games are now more, you know, kind of positive in their approach. Most of their players, batters, they know that they have another batter coming in.
Teams batting first or going in with, like, you know, where they would have probably gone with six batters, they probably can go now with seven genuine batters, knowing, like, what are the batters they can sacrifice for the bowling.
Yeah.
Overall, I don't know, like, you know, I know it's very early days and stuff, but, you know, and IPL is not the building ground, you know, in terms of whether it will kill all-rounders, make them redundant, probably, you know, or irrelevant, if you like, in years to come, you know, if this goes by, because what teams will start to look at is to say, like, you know, right, we're batting first, so let's, and also to add to it, like, you know, you have the ability to select your team after the toss or change the team after the toss, which means, like, you know, you can have two lists, if you like, or basically you get to swap the impact player around to say, like, you know, if you were going to, if you had 11 return down with the batting first and you were supposed to be bowling first, then you essentially change it to say, like, okay, let's go in with the bowler. The bowler becomes the batsman and impact player. I mean, the good example is CSK's games. The first two games, you know, CSK batted first and Sambhaji Raidu played. And he was then the impact player, essentially, Tushar Deshpande came in. But then you look at the last game where CSK were chasing and Tushar Deshpande played in, and Ambati Raidu came in as an impact player. So it's almost like, you know, it's a decision that seems to have been made in CSK, at least, you know, that Ambati Raidu and Tushar Deshpande will swap roles depending on whether CSK bat or bowl first.
Absolutely. I mean, I think one thing I want to note is genuine all-rounders will always still hold the, you know, ace. The reason is, if you are a genuine all-rounder, then you are kind of indispensable because you know it allows you to be a permanent fixture and then have somebody else swap out in terms of batters or bowlers. I can think about, let's say, Hardik Pandya, Ben Stokes, you know, these guys are Cam Green. These guys are genuine bowlers, like Kyle Mayers as well, I think, to an extent. So you do see that those guys will still be parcel of everybody's you know, lineup. It's about how well they do. It's the bits and pieces players who can bowl a bit, bat a bit, who will be affected with the impact players rule, because they're going to go in for a specialist rather than filling in a, shall we say, bits and pieces player. So I think that's what it is. I mean, from where we are right now, you know, it's still very early in the season. we have seen that, you know, as the pitches dry out, as the pitches go, they tend to be used slow, and it just, the scoring rate decreases, the especially around the fourth week time frame, you do see teams going in for more, you know, specialists, and then focused on more on bowling, the scoring rate drops. So that's what, when you will really see the impact of impact player and how teams use those, you know, toss team announcement and to their advantage.
You're right. But I was also just like, you know, having a look at some of the other teams and other games and things like that. There's, you know, so far, CSK in the three games, you know, have stuck to the script and said they've almost seems to have nominated somebody and said, like, you know, Ambati Roy doing shot this point, they basically swap as impact. Whereas you pick up some of the other teams, they made quite a big changes. You know, GT, yeah, for example, they had Sai Sudarshan and Josh Little, you know, overseas player, you know, as an impact player changeover. They had another game with Josh Little and I think it was Vijay Shankar, they swapped.
Yeah.
Mumbai have done some kind of similarly different, like, you know, they had Tim David as batting and then swapped it with Karthikeyan in terms of bowler, and then they had another game where Surya Kumar Yadav was swapped with Jason Berendorf. So they've like mixed and matched in terms of, you know, who's kind of going in and out as an impact player, rather than deciding, like, you know, here's, because obviously you can pick up someone like and say, like, you know, Nambati Raidu, could he be a liability on the field, you know, so therefore just use him as a batsman and, you know, a better fielder and a bowler probably. So again, that's probably the area where you will start to look at, like, you know, how teams develop in terms of saying, like, you know, do they stick with someone same, or they just change around the impact players based on the country they are play, I'm sorry, the grounds that they're playing.
Your, you know, conditions, yes.
Yeah, do you play someone different when you're playing away at RCB versus at home in CSK or Mumbai, you know, change. But yeah, it would be interesting to, like, you know, keep an eye out on those to see how that pans out. But overall, one thing, yeah, definitely has noticed. I don't know whether, again, it's because of the impact player. It's like, you know, and this, we also touched about this when we talked about the WPL, you know, a month ago, to say, like, you know, a lot of the scores were really high, like, you know, close to 200, and, you know, and you're looking at the first 10 games or so, 10 or 10 days or so, bar one hour score, I think it's pretty much been like in the high 170 to 200 range. And now this could be because of the extra batsmen.
Yeah, this is definitely because of extra batters, and also the fielding rules in the, I mean, of course, you know, the slow over rate, which means, you know, people don't have, you know, penalty for slow over rate is what I meant. So the captains are always under pressure to, and the bowlers also, to deliver the, keep the game moving on. So, you know, even yesterday's game, if you notice, I mean, Rinku Singh was hitting because of whatever reason. I mean, he was not told to bowl wide or whatever, which would have been the case if you went back about three or four seasons back in terms of IPL. People are moving on quite quickly, and I think that's having an impact as well. But the pitch conditions also matter. It's early April. There's still a bit that as it goes into the season, as the sun bakes down the grounds, it's going to get lot more slower and slower. Wickets will break down easily as well. So, yeah, I think I'm expecting the scoring rate to slightly drop as the season progresses before peaking towards the end.
Yeah, I think you're right. Especially Chennai have got like a stretch of games, you know, I think at the back end of the tournament at home. And the pitch, you're right, you know, slow and low will start to, like, they are fresh pitches now. It's beginning of the season. And as the pitches start to get tired, it's probably possible that they will start to, like, you know, slow down, and the scores probably they'll still remain in the high kind of, probably not so much in the 200, but maybe in the more like the 160, 170 is probably more how it, where it'll end up. The other point I did sort of want to touch was, like, you know, you just mentioned it buzzing around the slow over rates. It's,
yes.
Yeah, I know this has been talked about everywhere. They really got to do something about it. Like, surely, they should be able to bowl, like, you know, in an hour and a half, sort of 20 overs, you know. At much lower, like, you know, league club level cricket here, you're expected to bowl 4 minutes an over.
Yeah.
I think that's about right, you know, 80 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes. They should, you know, with the
setup that they have. I mean, at the club level, you will find there's one fielder who is running from fine leg to fine leg, and the other people are just ambling around. Whereas in a professional setup, you expect them to be queued up on that. But to be fair to the captains, there is now, you can review a wide, so that takes up some time. Wides and no balls. That is taking up some time, and pretty much every decision around stumping is reviewed, or a run out is reviewed. So every time you hit that all that kind of contributes. So I think you got to give it, look at it on balance as well, that there is a lot more intervention from the umpire side or the officials during the game, which is having an impact as well.
I think the thing that kind of, I suppose, more or less, like, you know, the it's a T20. There's, like, you know, drinks break at the end of 10 hours. It's really not that difficult. It's the more frequent drinks break that tends to happen, which, you know, and obviously there are lots of committee meetings around when you get hit for a couple of sixes, etc., which is what starts delaying you, because unlike, you know, if you pick up in club cricket, you know, there are balls getting lost in the bushes, etc. They don't have that problem either. Like, you know, three to six, the ball just comes back immediately. Yeah. And it's very rarely that balls get lost, you know, whereas yet the allowances, you know, if the umpire is tightened to say, like, you know, if you're not starting the over, I know there is this thing about, like, you know, bringing in the fielders for every ball. Yeah. That you don't go over the cutoff time and etc. They genuinely need to, like, you know, sort of say, okay, with the two tactical breaks of 2.5 minutes, or 20 minutes, there's another 1 hour 25 minutes for all the other things you're talking about, and add another extra 5 minutes. 1 hour 30 minutes should be a cutoff, and say, like, you know, if you're not bowled the first ball of the 20th over at the end of 1 hour 30 minutes, then you get penalized. I don't know what the current, you know, playing rules, regulations are, you know, in terms of the IP for that. But they obviously also do make, you know, for better viewing, I suppose.
Yeah.
Four fielders outside rather than the five. And for a team chasing, then it becomes like, you know, oh, there's the extra less fielder, so they could potentially chase targets. So That's something they should be clamping down on, and, like, you know, tying it up.
Yes, and the last word is, of course, on that, you know, it's a better viewing experience if the game moves on. I think some of the games are going beyond 11 o'clock in the night, which is not so much of a big deal in India culturally. I mean, people are, you know, late sleepers. It's always busy all the time. Whereas if it is a country like here, it would be a big deal. I mean, you wouldn't even have anything after 11. So I think those are some of the points there. We expect to see that this gets tightened, because there's a lot of talk in the commentary about games going. And also there is a presentation after every match. I mean, that is something I found a bit ridiculous in terms of, you know, having the player of the match, man of the match, blah, blah, sixes, and I think easily about 3,000, 4,000 pounds, which is about 300,000 rupees given away for a player, in addition to being a player of match. So I know there's all that. It could be more from a studio perspective, and the game itself you know, from a viewing experience is just dragging on after it's over for far too long for me.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously the, we've known that one always being there, the sponsorship for everything from a catch to 4 to 6 and what have you. So yeah, that's this thing. There's obviously that whole bit of dragging up. Obviously just kind of, you know, I know we talked about things like, you know, we generally don't tend to focus on specific game by game, you know, when we do our podcast recording, but just having overall look at the table and the interesting pieces, if you like. Is there any, I mean, we'll probably go and have a look at the table and maybe have a quick chat about, like, you know, where each team are and stuff like that. But just generally in terms of thinking through, is there anybody that's kind of stood out for you so far in the first 10 days? Or, like, you know, if you were to pick up, say, that was the moment, or that really, like, you know, was an enjoy. I mean, obviously, we touched in the Rinku Singh stuff yesterday, but other than that, across so far?
It's a tough, you know, kind of question. I think
Well, I'll give you a chance to have a think about it. You know, I was going to pick up on Mark Woods Pfeiffer.
Ah, yes, that's really good. I mean, we did speak immediately after the match, I think. Mark Woods' pace really blowing out the opposition there. 5 wickets was brilliant. Yeah, that was really good. And he seemed to be in a good rhythm. So, yeah, I'm good. From a bowling point of view, yes, of course. The other thing that stood out to me was the amount of leg spinners who have made an impact. Mayank Markandeya, I think, for yesterday's game. Rashid Khan, again, Yuzi Chahal. I think for me, particularly from a bowling point of view, I think the leg spinners, I'm going to collectively say it is leg spinners having that impact. And you see at least 3 or 4 bowling performances where they have made a huge impact, including Yuzi Chahal.
Yeah. Generally, I guess the other one, obviously, unlucky was Shikhar Dhawan, probably with his 99 not out.
Yeah, that stood out to me as well, because you know, Shikhar Dhawan, I've always had, you know, him as an impact player with really having a huge impact in the game in the sides he plays. He had for years done it for SRH, and now I think leading his own team, and his captaincy is also good. To score 99 in a game where the next highest score is 22 is just crazy. And then all the other scores were single digit. I never gave them a chance to cross 100 in that game, but they got to a respectable total. And all this is going to help in kind of reducing the net run rate and the deficit that you will see panning out towards the latter half of the tournament. And so, yeah, I think that again is a standout performance, if you ask me, because the sheer, you know, value. If he went on to score 3 figures, it would have been even better. But there are a number of positives in this entire tournament. I think form of Ajinkya Rahane, that is, you know, from a CSK fan perspective, that was just brilliant to watch. Some classic shots, no, you know, mucking about with, you know, reverse parallels and this and that. It was elegant. It was quite nice. Venkatesh Iyer's form yesterday as well for hitting. It's quite pleasing to see. But definitely, Ajinkya Rahane, in my book, was a revelation, especially around the impact he can bring on the slip fielding. And he is a leader as well in his own capacity. So let's see how it pans out for him. Yeah, I mean, I'm really happy about that.
Looking at the, like, you know, top run getters so far, you know, the names aren't surprising. You know, Ruthraj Gaikwad, obviously we just touched about Shikhar Dhawan, but Ruthraj Gaikwad for CSK, not surprising. David Warner at Delhi, not surprising again. Josh Butler at Rajasthan Royals, again, not surprising. The one when we did the previous show, we said was to keep an eye out was Sai Sudarshan. And so far, he seems to be delivering for GT. You've already touched on Venkatesh Iyer and Vijay Shankar, obviously. You know, Yashasvi Jaiswal is another one in Rajasthan Royals that seems to be, like, you know, so yeah, keeping an eye out for them. And I think talking of the bowlers and the purple cap, it's the you already touched about the fact that, you know, leg spinners in the kind of the top five, you know, Rashid Khan, Yuzi Chahal, Ravi Bishnoi, and then Sunil Narine is at six. So there's all, you can already see, yeah, like, you know, the leg spinners and Mark Wood, you know, pace generally, like, you know, is there. He's obviously in there. So it's genuine pace. I'm surprised to, like, you know, I don't know whether it's just similar to Mark Wood. I was expecting
Lucky Ferguson.
Lucky Ferguson, you know, he's probably one, but also from, I guess, from a Mumbai Indians,
yeah,
for Archer as well. But he's obviously still not quite there, you know, Jofra Archer so far.
Yeah, he hasn't bowled full tilt. I don't think so. I think that is pretty clear. I do see Lockie Ferguson steaming in, Antic Nortia, Mark Wood, you know, really quick, making, you know, people jump, especially Mark Wood on that game to Sarfraz. He bowled a brutal delivery, and I think that was one. And I think Geoff Archer, I didn't see full tilt. He's still going for runs. So hopefully he can turn it around. It's a long season.
So, yeah, he's probably one. You know, obviously, he's only bowled one game. I think the Mumbai versus RCB game is the only one he's played. He's not played the other two game or the other game, which was the CSK game. He didn't play. He's only went for none for 33 around in the Mumbai versus RCB game. But yeah, talking about Mumbai, compared to, like, you know, sort of I'm a bit surprised, like, they still haven't started. I know, like, last year, if you looked at, like, you know, they and CSK obviously finished at the bottom of the table.
Yeah.
I was expecting this year, you know, Mumbai to do, like, slightly better, well, a lot more better than I guess last year. CSK obviously have started well.
Absolutely. CSK have started well. Mumbai Indians have the potential. I think it's to do with the leadership, the form of the openers. Rohit Sharma hit and miss every game. I think that's having an impact. They have not come together, but they do have the smarts. You know, especially with Cam Green coming in, Ishan Kishan is looking good. It's, I think they need one or two wins for them to kickstart the season, and then they will be off, is what I feel. Let's see. But Delhi Capitals again, you know, 3 out of 3 gone. Their net run rate is -2 or whatever. So they have a lot of catching up to do. Otherwise, it's going to be a long, hard season for Delhi. Especially sad to see, you know, people like Bunting sitting on the fence with their team going through their motions. But let's see. I mean, I don't see a possibility of you know, the lead just widening. I think there will be some mix-up. That the tables will turn, hopefully, because there's a number of players who are yet to join some squads. So we will have to see what the impact of that would be as the team, you know, as the season goes, especially QDK for LSG, how it's going to turn out, what impact he's going to have. It's a problem of plenty for them now.
Yeah. But, one of the things we touched about, like, you know, in the last episode of the podcast was around, like, you know, we looked at the players missing and who's likely the missing players having an impact on them, you know, and we touched about the fact Rishabh Pant for DC, and it looks like, you know, Rishabh Pant's absence at DC is probably being felt. Again, at the start of this podcast, we talked about, like, you know, Iyer, Shreyas Iyer missing for KKR, but they still seem to be, like, you know, doing fine with that one. Jasprit Bumrah's absence for Mumbai. I don't know whether I would put Jasprit Bumrah's absence as the reason for Mumbai's decline. It just seems to be like Mumbai overall don't seem to be, like, you know, really doing. Ken Williamson obviously was not there, but then, you know, I think Ken Williamson's injury, not just his injury and leaving out of the IPL, looks like he might be out of the World Cup as well. That's
really a big deal. Yeah.
So was definitely like, you know, looking forward to him and Hardik Pandya working together at GT. That's a shame. In terms of, I guess, the other teams, if you like, you know, sitting at the bottom of the table right now, Sunrisers Hyderabad, they had the first win yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so they've played 3-2. I think it makes a difference. Like, again, as we've been saying, you know, it's only 3 games, just 11 games to go for each teams. But yeah, you're right in terms of not so much of pulling away, but it's a momentum kind of thing. You start losing games, you know, if you don't arrest it, you just keep going into spiral, and it becomes difficult to then catch up. You know, the quicker you start winning your games, you know, you get momentum, it becomes interesting to see. For us, from a CSK perspective, I think it's good to see Stokes bowling as well. I wasn't expecting Stokes to bowl at all in this IPL. But overall, I don't know. I'm still like, you know, sort of the balance of the squad seems to be like, you know, batting heavy and sort of bowling inexperienced. I wouldn't say weak, but inexperienced bowling. And again, Deepak Chahar has been injured and he's going to squad, going for a scan, which will, you know, if he's unavailable for any length of time, I think that will be difficult. You know, he's probably what you would call the experience in terms of the Indian bowlers.
Talking about CSK, you know, the win against LSG was even better for me, actually speaking, than Mumbai was always, you know, it was just the best team rolled, to be fair. But the LSGK game was quite closer than I would have expected them to come, with Nicholas Puran hitting out there and Ayush Badoni. You know, I think obviously, you know, how, you know, captains, especially, you know, somebody like MS Dhoni can handle his bowlers. So I think it was a masterclass on how to execute that and close the game out. And that was really good. You know, that for me, you know, that shows that Chennai is on the right track. They are kind of bowling. Tushar Deshpande, even though he had 2 wickets in that game, his bowling is still, you know, that's the game where, you know, there was lots of wides and no balls. That's still something that we would need to, you know, kind of look into. But hopefully this is good that it happens early in the season, so you have a chance to course correct and go. I'm reasonably positive about Chennai right now. But we'll see how it pans out.
Yeah, I mean, they were in my top four, to finish in the top four, you know, at the beginning of the season. And I still think they will finish in the top four. And then it depends on, like, you know, depending on where they finish in the top four, it's either 2 or 3 matches to win the tournament. So that's there. Talking about Tushar Deshpande, but I think this was a theory that I was thinking around, like, you know, with Bravo as the bowling coach now after his retirement. One of the things that Bravo was very, very good at was bowling those wide yorkers in death. I mean, he could nail them at will. I don't know whether, you know, that's something that whether it's Rajwardhan Hangarikar, Tushar Deshpande, etc., trying to learn, or, you know, from him. Because a lot of the whites, if you looked at it, they were not real, what you would call leg side whites. They were more offside whites, which was like, you know, whether they were trying to land them within the tram line, if you like, you know, ball wide full yorkers, but not quite got the control as Bravo had. And so therefore, like, you know, it kept going wide. So I'm hoping, like, you know, yeah, as you say, through the season they will, you know, more practice will improve and they will able to be like ball them and kind of thing. CSK, again, as you said, at home in Chennai, it's a slightly different, like, you know, where there's obviously the growth factor, but also the spin, slow bowling, if you like, you know, being controlled by Dhoni. For me, I was like never in doubt. You know, once we'd got 200 plus, it was never in doubt. Yeah. Yes, it was squeaky bum at the end, but
It is that game. I think that just goes to show how much a leader can contribute, especially rotating the bowlers. And for example, just to draw parallels, Rashid Khan in the game yesterday, left even though they had about 30 runs to score the last over. So I think that's the impact of a leader. And I'm glad that Chennai got a good one in Dhoni.
Yeah. That talking about the whites, no balls and whites, it was interesting how social media kind of went on overdrive to Dhoni's comment saying, if you keep bowling that, I will be off. There's all sorts of...
Talk about misinterpreting, quoting it out of context and all. It had the elements of everything. And it was classic Dhoni style as well, He makes those comments which keep people guessing. And I think he cheekily does that to just see the impact of how it pans out in the media.
So, social media can sort of build up. As we wind up, we're just looking at the rest of the table. So far, I suppose, as we said, there's not really that much of the surprise. And then, I guess, games this week, looking ahead to some interesting ones. There's RCB, Lucknow Super Giants, DC and Mumbai, CSK at home to Rajasthan Royals, Punjab and Gujarat. Yeah, they just come thick and fast. And probably somewhere in the next 2 weeks or so, I think the table will start to shape. Looking forward to the game next Monday, RCB versus CSK. That's another derby.
That's a classic. We've got, at the time of recording, I think we've got RCB game today as well. What do you think?
I don't know. It doesn't feel, RCB at the minute, again, they are... What the play? They obviously beat Mumbai Indians in their first game. Kohli definitely looked up for it and was in real form. The next game, August, then they went and lost to KKR, and it felt almost the usual thing. I know they were bowled out for 123. There is always one of those games where where RCB get bowled out for peanuts. In most IPL seasons, so let's hope that that's the one for this season, and it's always been the way with RCB, isn't it? They can just go two extremes.
Yeah, I mean, if you bet Harshal Patel at five, when you have Dinesh Karthik coming in later, you do have some issues, but. Let's see. I think their batting order was muddled, but all hinges on the king, as they say, in their club and Faf form as well. So I'm hoping that they will bounce back, just for the fact that a good Kohli, in-form Kohli, is absolutely essential for us as we go into World Cup. There's no other reason. It's just sheer how well he feels is going to matter, huge deal for India.
That Harshal Patel thing, I suspect, Dinesh Karthik, they've almost got this thing to say, Dinesh Karthik, we kind of pulled him back for the last four or five overs. That's the plan, so depending on if the opening batsman, the top two or three go well and go into the 12, 13 over mark, they're still there, and then Dinesh Karthik comes in earlier, as opposed to if they lose, then they send other players in and Dinesh Karthik, rather than thinking, Dinesh Karthik can deliver at any time. So it'd be interesting to keep an eye out on that one today to see,
what they do,
where he bats.
Absolutely.
Because that, my take seems to be on that is, the way they're losing Dinesh Karthik is someone who comes in at the end of the
minute.
Even that first game, he came in, about stopped after 15 overs. So he actually came in at number three and then got out for zero in that first game because Virat Kohli and Faf du Plessis had, you know, a big, big partnership. So whether they've decided, well, he's going to play only after the 15 overs, only last 5 overs, rather than, you know, if they lose 2 wickets. It makes it probably difficult for him to, like, know whether he's batting at 3 or 7.
I think it does, especially with the weak Glenn Maxwell. He's not turned up yet for the RCB. But, you know, when he gets going, he gets going. We all know that. Well, let's see. I mean, I think it will be interesting. I mean, I picked up RCB, you know, as how much the think tank and the batting order could have an impact. That was the reason for me to, you know, delve into deep into that. Whereas if you get your mix right and your lineup right, you, even with limit players of limited ability, you can go far.
I don't know. It's like, you know, what else can, what other rules can, you know, the IPL bring in, like giving RCB, like, you know, okay, here you've got now extra batters, you know, so you, you play your best 7 batters and then, you know, you can play your best 5 bowlers. You're playing with 12 people, and it's just, you still can't win. Maybe it's they say, like, you know, 11 batters and then you have 11 bowlers. You can completely swap all over. Maybe that might be the time when RCB actually wins.
I think that is good. I mean, that is one thing you can't just, you know, kind of handle it. I mean, sometimes these flexibility in the and the options can confuse some teams and people in the think tank because they are like looking at so many permutations, combinations. So it takes some time, some teams time to get these things ready. So
let's look forward to the rest of the IPL. So we'll review, maybe we'll see in the next week or in a couple of weeks time in terms of the next sort of this podcast. As usual, if you like this podcast, you know, do leave your ratings and reviews on any of the platforms you download it from, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcast, etc. We're also on Twitter on Yellow and Blues. Do messages on Yellow and Blues. Until we speak again, until the next time, enjoy the podcast and have a good time, whatever you're doing, and enjoy the IPL. Speak soon.